everyone. Welcome to the track list. I'm Darren Jenkins.
It's a me, Chris.
Oh, good gravy. I was aware something crazy was about to happen. Anyway.
And that's why I'm wearing a Spain jersey, because it's the only red shirt I have.
Okay. All right. Anyway, hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the track list. On today's show, we're doing the Super Mario Brothers movie from 2023. Synopsis is a plumber named Mario travels through an underground labyrinth with his brother Luigi, trying to save a captured princess. This was directed by several people. Aaron Horvath, Michael Jelinek, Pierre Ludic, and Fabian Polek, with music by Brian Tyler, starring Chris Pratt, Anya Taylor-Joy, Charlie Day. There's so many people. We'll get into all of those. I'm not going to list them all. There's just a lot of people in this movie. Box office on this was $1.3 billion against a budget of $100 million. Pretty successful. They did all right.
All right, it's okay. Well, it's saying surpassed Frozen 2, highest grossing opening movie worldwide for an animated film. Highest grossing opening for a video game adaptation worldwide.
What, Pixels didn't beat this?
No. Apparently, it had to beat Detective Pikachu.
Oh, don't laugh. That movie was actually pretty good.
That was fine. The film achieved second highest grossing opening weekend in the U.S. and Canada for an animated film behind Incredibles 2.
That's pretty big.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, I was waiting years for Incredibles 2, so I guess that's why it made so much money. But I don't think it was as good as the first one.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. But
all that good stuff. I didn't realize Chris Pratt and Anya Taylor-Joy also were in Lego Movie together. And I was looking at, you mentioned Brian Taylor.
Yep.
The Warriors?
Which Warriors? Not the original, right?
The original Warriors is listed under his name. He's 51 years old.
Oh, so yeah, that's about right.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Anyway, but like, they got Fast and the Furious here, the latest Rambo, Expendables. He's got a body of work here. Final Destination, Thor, The Dark World, Scream 6, like Iron Man 3. He's done stuff for Marvel. Yeah, man. Like, Crazy Rich Asians is listed here. I hope this is his stuff and not just a random list of movies, but.
It's movies that he liked, really liked them.
these are on his profile. But yeah, man, I didn't realize. I didn't recognize the name at first, but I'm like, oh crap.
Yeah, me either.
This is based on, obviously, Mario Brothers, created by Shigeru Miyamoto. Sorry, genius or crackhead, whichever you think. I just think about creating a game like this just to start out.
It does seem a little like he was on some kind of high or something, acid, LSD or something.
Plumbers that transport to a mushroom world with a big dragon, and there's a bunch of mushrooms around, like power. Like, it's just like, oh my god,
monkeys and go-karts and
don't know.
How much did you play Super Mario Bros.?
Oh my god, absolutely. I was too young to be good at it, but I tried.
I probably only played like a handful of times, to be honest. I never had a Nintendo.
Are you crazy?
I was mostly
friend's house.
We were all like PlayStation. So,
are you kidding me?
Even
when you were younger?
When I was younger, they didn't have video games.
But like, well, the PlayStation came out so much farther after. Hey, okay.
Oh, no. Nah, yeah, I mean, I'm a sports game guy. I don't play.
Yo, man. Nintendo has some sports games. Tecmo NBA basketball.
Woo! Yeah. Oh, that I played that game. That game I crushed on.
But yeah. So the movie so far, I know it's 2023. It's still early. But IMDb 7.1 out of 10. This is when I swear the critics don't know jack. Rotten Tomatoes critics gave it 59%. The audience is inverse of that. 95%.
Well, most of those critics are older than I am. So there's that.
Yeah, but like the thing is like, right, you have to look at it from a perspective, right? This isn't the greatest movie of all time, but it's super fun and entertaining.
True.
And like, what are you looking for a movie based after an animated film based after a video game? I don't understand. Like, this isn't going to be like winning Academy Awards for best actor and best film, right? So
I think there's those snobs. I mean, I think for the most part, critics are snobs. They don't really, they're not as well-rounded as me and you as reviewers, you know what I mean? So
true. But so you ain't really playing Mario growing up. Did you ever see the first movie from 85? The live action?
I'm with Bob Hoskins and I forget who the other guy was.
John Leguizamo?
Oh, is that who played his brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably didn't watch it. I don't know. To be honest, I'd have to watch it to remember if I actually saw this movie. I remember it definitely. But I don't think I wasn't like, oh, I gotta go see it. Yeah, no.
I mean, I had to go see it because I was, I played the game.
What year did that come out?
1985.
Oh, come on. There were so many more better movies for me to watch than this.
Are you telling me you didn't have time in the 365 days of the year to watch that film or the following 30 years of your life?
Oh, please.
You didn't have time to watch this movie. Okay, whatever, bro.
So I'm curious what the rating for that movie was.
That's good. I didn't even look it up. Let's see. Type right.
Yeah, because I got a feeling it wasn't as high as this.
Let's see. I can't even find it. It's not even coming up. Oh, 19. It might be 1993. I take that back.
93?
Yeah, it was 93. And
holy
I might have.
Smokes.
And did I lie about John Leguizamo? No. It's definitely him. Definitely him. Bob Hoskins, John Leguizamo. Guess who? King Koopa is.
Who?
Dennis Hopper.
Oh, you know that works. I could see that.
And I mean, actually, there's like Samantha Mathis. I know she was in a bunch of films during that time. Fiona Shaw, who plays Harry Potter's like aunt that adopts him.
Oh.
Yeah, there's some people in here. Gianni Russo. Let's see. So on IMDb, this gets a 4.1 out of 10.
And there you go. There you why I didn't watch it. Oh, yeah. I could be wrong, but I kind of remember that this movie didn't get good reviews when it came out originally.
Listen,
he said it was a critical failure.
It's not a good movie. It's not. They have a King Koopa is like a human. He's human form. It's not.
Oh, that you can't do that.
Yeah. So I was, yeah.
Being.
Let's just say it's part of my childhood. But there are so many Easter eggs in this movie.
Yeah. And I think you can appreciate it probably more than I was going to ask you about that because I'm watching a movie. And like, there are probably Easter eggs in this movie that I'm just not getting because I didn't play this game. The only one I got was when in the coffee shop, when they were in the coffee shop in the beginning of the movie, mm-hmm. and dude was standing there playing Donkey Kong.
Was he playing Donkey Kong or what's it called, Wrecking Crew?
No, he was playing Donkey Kong.
Was he?
Yeah. Because I remember the ladders in Donkey Kong.
Well, I looked up a bunch of these because, I mean, I noticed a bunch of stuff during the movie, but like in that same scene, you have, it's really cool how they did this. In the pizzeria, on the walls are photos of a bunch of boxers. Like you see
Italian
pizzerias, but they're boxers from Punch-Out.
I was wondering about that. I was going to say, I'm like, I feel like those boxers are relevant for some reason.
Yeah. So that's really cool. The arcade game. And actually, the guy that their competitor or whatever that makes fun of him, Spike.
Yeah.
He's Foreman Spike from a video game called Wrecking Crew.
Yeah, Wrecking Crew. It says it on his shirt, too. Wrecking Crew.
Yeah. A bunch of Easter eggs. Even the beginning, just going back to the opening. What is it? What's the production company? Illuminati.
Oh, Illumination.
Illumination that do the Despicable Me, the Minions movies. You know, the Minions in the cart, and there's that ding, ding, ding. Like, that's the sound from Mario Kart. Like, right off the bat, it threw so much at you.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of cool.
Oh, my God. Like, the Mario level completion music. Is like, is right after that, I think. And then there's airship music for King Koopa as you go into that first scene. Like, there's airship level, so you're probably not going to understand all half the stuff I'm talking about.
No, no, probably not. That
much. But I loved that opening scene, and King Koopa is like attacking the penguin people.
Oh, that was hilarious. That was really a great scene.
And then, like, you have all this like dramatic music, and then like start throwing these like snowballs, but then it shows like just the snowballs kind of falling off Koopa, like having no effect. And the king is like, "That is but a taste of our fury. Do you yield?" Enjoy that.
Well, the one thing I will say about, you know, maybe. Like, my not having played the game, it tells you how iconic the music for this game was, because I recognized these tunes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's, I mean, again, a lot of this is just, I would love to talk to like a kid right now, right, that didn't grow up with that stuff, you know. The graphics of this movie are a billion times better than the graphics of the original game.
Yeah, so it's like, it's not even close.
So it's like, you know, how do they relate to it? I think it's a really like fun movie, so it could translate. But I am going to get a little nerdy here.
Okay.
So the whole premise of this film is that King Koopa steals this power star.
Yep.
To win the heart of the princess and take over whatever the world. In the game, that power star powers you up for about 15 to 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
How is that the thing in the movie?
I mean, they had to do something, right? It had to be some kind of thing.
I just feel like that this could have been something else. Like, what do you win when you beat the whole game, right? Like, I guess the princess, but like,
oh, that's true, right?
I don't know, like, the power star is just like a random thing you win at each almost every level you can get it, right? So anyway,
well, I mean, they could have just made him just a straight up bad guy, like bent on destruction, you know, and that could have just been it. You know, just taking over continually taking over pieces of his world, you know. So,
but if that was the case, then we wouldn't have gotten
right
a really great part of this movie, which I'll talk about later.
Yeah.
So I noticed this right away, and you, one, not being not seeing the original movie, not really playing the original game, I'm guessing you don't know that there was a TV show.
Uh, I th- I'm pretty sure I remember there was a TV show. I never watched it.
From 1989 called the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. So the commercial for Mario and Luigi.
Yeah.
That was a song taken from the theme song of that show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. as soon as it came on, I was like, oh my God.
Wow.
With the so Mario they Brothers
really went all out.
Where the Mario Brothers and Plumbers are game, like, yeah, man, they pulled in so much stuff. And like we talk about the original game, they pull in stuff from Mario 2, 3, Super Mario World, Mario Kart. Like, they really,
yeah, I was gonna say Mario Kart is separate, was like you could, you know, I know enough to know that the pieces of what they were doing was from different games, but in the saga of Mario.
And obviously, like Donkey Kong, like, I mean, we see the character later, but, you know, parts of that scene are also from just the Donkey Kong game, which Mario was the hero in that.
Right.
That's the player you play with, and he was called Jumpman at the time. But
yeah, Jumpman.
He's the one you play with against Donkey Kong, right?
And I played like, Jumpman.
Oh, there you go. And then you have also in Punch-Out, Mario was the referee, right? Like, that character has been used across Nintendo's, like...
Yeah.
Category, video games. And then, like, I liked the opening scene. Oh, the scene after the commercial when they get their first job and they're running through New York.
Hmm.
And they do the side view, like the gameplay. Oh. From Mario.
yeah.
Which is really cool. And at the end, you see, this one I looked up because I didn't notice it first. I should have noticed. You know, at the end of each level, you jump and pull down a flag.
Yep.
And there's usually like a castle at the end.
Yep.
When they get to the end of that scene, he jumps down a pole and there's a thing called Castle Burger right next door. That's the shape of the castle from the game. It, you know, the attention to detail is crazy.
That's what I was like trying to watch. It's like Castle Burger. Why do I know that?
Yeah. So just really cool Easter eggs and like attention to detail. And then they get to their job, which goes awry. I love the dog in the scene.
Yeah, that dead scene was hilarious. The dog was like hilarious.
Well, that dog, what's his name? I wrote it down. Francis.
Francis, yeah.
The reason I had to pause, because I had to scroll down, because Francis is in my what the fuck moments.
Okay.
That dog is fucking nuts. And I love the use of music in that scene too. When all the plumbing is going crazy and the dog is trying to attack them, they use a song, L'amore Oso, I can't pronounce that, Oso Rebelle. It's from a play or a musical or opera called Carmen.
Oh, but yeah, Carmen.
It's,
yeah.
It's like operatic music, and it's so dramatic. It's just so odd compared to a lot of the other music that's in this movie.
Yeah, that was. I felt like that really set the stage for what we were about to go see for this movie. I mean,
an operatic.
Yeah.
Experience.
Yeah. Very like, you know, because one of the things about this movie I thought they did a great job of was kind of, and I think they did the same. I mean, we're not talking about this yet, and we were supposed to do it today, but they did the same thing in Barbie, where they kind of took this fantasy world and made it just real enough for you to, you know, to kind of. Place these characters in, you know, because otherwise it's just another video game, right? It means, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they did an amazing job just like translating that video game into the story.
Yeah.
Because if you look at like something like Sonic the Hedgehog, they really just pull Sonic into the real world.
Right.
Whereas here, like, okay, we're living in that world. Mario, Super Mario Brothers, we're living in like the Toad Kingdom, whatever it's called, all that stuff. So that was cool. And I think they left a lot out as well, because this is clearly going to be a franchise.
Yeah.
like they don't go into detail about too much detail about Princess. Oh my God, blanking.
Princess Peach.
Peach, my God, her name is said enough in this movie for me to remember that. Because in the game, her name is Princess Toadstool, so it's like Princess right. Peach didn't really come to like Mario Kart or something. Right. But they don't go into like super detail about her backstory. So I'm sure in the future films, we're gonna find out about that. Like other levels that we didn't see here.
Right.
Like if you look at Mario 3, like there's like desert levels. That I feel like we could explore a lot more as well. And of course the characters that go along with that. So I'm excited to see where they go with it. That was another thing I didn't notice at first, and I shame on me. When they're going down into the New York sewers.
Yeah.
And they get down pretty low. It says level 1-2.
Oh, did it? Oh, you're right. Yeah.
I had the benefit of rewatching this time, but like I had already seen that, so I was looking for it. I was like, okay, well, they're pulling in like even the levels from
the game.
From the game, and like apparently that was based on a glitch from the game, not an actual level, where you would break through some kind of wall and be able to get to another a level that didn't exist. Like it was a pure glitch. It was just a whole other level that you couldn't
make. Right.
I remember like other levels where you could like jump up on top of like, I don't know, the ceiling.
Yeah.
And run all the way to the end, and like there's a three portals for you to choose from, and that would skip you ahead. Like you get to skip a bunch of levels to get farther in the game, but this seemed like different. Like that seems built in. This is like a glitch. Anyway,
interesting. Okay.
I'm clearly nerding out a lot.
Yeah, you, but it's okay.
And like the logo on their van is the same logo from the movie that we talked about earlier, so they pulled that through as well. But I have a question.
Yep.
How is that Keegan-Michael Key voicing Toad?
There's a few things like that in this movie that I was kind of like, what? Wait, what? Wait, what?
Yeah.
To be honest, I was kind of, Mario was really done well too. Like, I did not expect that voice to come out of, what's his name?
Chris Pratt. Yeah, I hear it at times with him. There was only one point where I was like, that's Keegan-Michael Key. It was one thing he did, and it was just like more like a, like it was just like a sound like that or something. And I was like, oh, that sounds like it. But yeah, that was dope. Jack Black
was great as usual.
I prefer not to see him on screen, so this is better.
Yeah, there's a lot to like about his character in this movie. And one of my favorite scenes is, we'll talk about later, I think is features him. So
I'm sure we're both thinking about the same scene.
Yeah.
So very intentional, essentially, in this movie, making Luigi like, putting him in that damsel in distress role, because in the video games, it's like your whole goal is to save the princess, right? And you see that, you know, obviously there's a whole push against like the princess, Disney princesses, and how that's changed over the years.
Yeah.
And their role in these movies and films and TV shows. So clearly, like, Luigi was the one that was captured. That's who we're going to save. Princess Peaches is a very capable leader.
Yeah, she was kind of badass. Yeah.
So you see that, obviously, like, that's pretty much what the whole Barbie movie was about as well. Changing those stereotypes, right?
So. Yeah. Well, I did enjoy Luigi's time in the Darklands because, man, that was them chasing him around was really good.
I mean, this part zombie movie too with the dry bones chasing him around.
Yeah.
Kind of freaked me out, man.
And when he goes behind the gate and closes it, and like they just stop. Yeah. I'm just like, shit. I remember the first time I saw that, I was like, shit, something bad is about to happen.
That's the Jabberwocky dancers, ain't they?
It seemed like it, right? I was like, those dudes about to dance? What's up?
Where's Shaq? You know, Shaq did that one.
That would be actually really funny if they had done that.
If they started dancing, that would have been dope.
That would have been dope.
They could have spared like 5 minutes. This movie's only an hour and a half. They could have spared 5 minutes to do that before they started kept on attacking him, man.
That would have been so funny.
Yeah, that would have been dope. Yeah, that whole scene's dope. I liked a lot. I did enjoy this film, if you can't tell already. But
Nah, can't tell.
And then they have the scenes where Mario is walking through the Toad City.
Oh, right.
I couldn't see all of the Easter eggs there, but there was one point where like this kid at the store, and he's like, "Does this thing work?" And the store owner's like, "Yeah, you just have to blow into it." Which, if you ever played Nintendo, you fucking know the struggle. You had to blow into the cartridges sometimes when they wouldn't work.
Oh, yeah. That I know about, unfortunately.
And they tell you, apparently you're not supposed to do that, but like, that was the only way to get it to work.
Yeah. I remember that.
And like other frustrating, they highlight other frustrations about Mario specifically. Portals to nowhere. Like he's following Toad, and he jumps through a portal, and it comes out here, and he jumps into the
same place.
Yeah, like that was from the game. The palace guards saying like, "The princess is not here. Check another castle." Oh my fucking god! not quite making the jumps in the game, right? You'd be like running, and you'd like jump, and you just fall into a pit or something. Oh my god, so much. And then replaying levels over and over again, like in the training scene when he has to go, he keeps on doing it over and over again. That's how you play the game, man. Unless you were some kind of savant, which I was not. But yeah.
What was the what's the movie where Wreck-'em Ralph? Is that Wreck-'em Ralph?
Yeah.
This movie felt a little bit like that. But yeah. I don't know. This might have been done better.
Was Wreck-It Ralph a real video game?
Yeah, it was.
And was it? What was it? What system was it on?
It was on PlayStation.
Oh, was it? Damn.
Yeah.
Seemed older than PlayStation.
No, it was. I mean, it's pretty old.
Yeah. Who were the bad guys in Wreck-It Ralph? I don't remember.
Oh, damn. I forget.
Yeah, I enjoyed that movie too.
You know what? Maybe I might be wrong. I think it was Nintendo because, one of the end scenes in there also features a character similar to Donkey Kong.
Okay. Yeah, I would guess it seems like a Nintendo or if anything like at least Sega.
Oh yeah, maybe that's Sega, that's what it is.
Anyway. Yeah, I mean similar films. You got the carts in there, you got the drivers. I guess Wreck-It Ralph is kinda like
Wreck-It Ralph was Nintendo, actually. Okay. I just looked it up.
Wreck-It Ralph is kinda like Donkey Kong, because Donkey Kong at one point in this movie says, "I'm not just the guy that smashes things," right?
So. Yeah.
They both have the kind of the same hangups.
That whole fight was really good.
Yep.
The fight was good, but the moments leading up to the fight to me was even better. Like the car ride to the castle.
Yes. So we've talked about, I was just trying to think about the songs that play. Well, we got the Mario Brothers rap we mentioned. We forgot to mention when they're running through Brooklyn, what song do they play?
Oh, what were they playing?
Come on, brother. It's a song about Brooklyn.
Oh, No Sleep Till Brooklyn, right?
Yeah. Beastie Boys. Which apparently was also in Guardians 3. Also starring Chris Pratt.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And when Mario's training, holding out for a hero.
Oh, yeah.
Which was also in Shrek 2 or 3.
Hmm.
There's a lot of reused songs here. And then you mentioned when they're driving to the gorilla village, they're playing what song? The gorilla's wearing a blazer.
Isn't it Take On Me or something like that?
Yep. Take On Me, Aha. Uh-huh. Which apparently was also in Despicable Me 3. Did we talk about that?
It was, and yeah, I remember that.
So, I don't know. I guess they weren't worried about the reusing of songs in this film. But yeah.
Yeah, somehow I think they're okay with the money.
But yeah, and I guess the first glimpse you get of like the Mario carts when they're driving towards the gorilla town, village, citadel, I don't know what you call it. I do have to say, by the way, because I gotta rewind, I'm with Mario about these mushrooms.
Me too, don't worry. I freaking hate mushrooms. I'm creeped out by them and I don't like them.
Do you understand what just happened, Darren?
Yeah, I know. It will never happen again.
We agreed on something. Oh, my God.
Well, that'll be the last episode. This is the last episode of the track list.
It's no longer interesting.
We've already we reached the end of the road. When he said that, I was like, I'm right there with you, brother.
I got a question for you, though. We talked about the very brief backstory for Princess Peaches.
Yeah.
Why would she came through a portal?
Yep.
From whatever world.
Oh, I know what you're gonna say. Go ahead.
And she's raised by these toad, found and raised by these toad people. Why would they make her their princess?
I was when he said that, I was like, okay, I don't see the jump. I don't see like why suddenly she's the most qualified person in the entire kingdom to run things.
Because she's like the tallest person? Is that why?
I don't know.
See, I mean, I think that's like, I understand like we'll probably explore that down the line with this series, but a little more explanation. Like maybe like, right, she mentioned during Mario's training, like, yeah, she got it the first time. Okay, well, let's connect those dots. Maybe she was just like the most capable person. Obviously, that's why we're doing this. But like, just connect it. Just connect it.
Maybe it was like one of those, you know, fantasy things, those fairy tale things where, you know, there was some kind of thing that she was going to fulfill the prophecy or something, you know.
Yeah. You know what? We will find out. I just thought they could have.
Yeah, that would have been nice to kind of allude.
Just like, a quick reference.
You know, yeah. And why wasn't she black? Anyway.
you know, we tend to do that when we do our shows. I do have to say, though, if you look at the people voicing the characters.
Mm-hmm. Don't say it. I know what you're...
It's literally Keegan-Michael Key. Oh, no, sorry.
There's one more, right?
I'm lying. Kevin Michael Richardson, who I don't really know.
Yeah.
He plays Kamek, who's like Bowser's right-hand man, I think.
Yeah.
And this guy's name is Kari Payton, Khary. One, he plays the Penguin King. One, I've never seen this name before. Two, his parents Gary Payton fans? Anyway, sorry. There are several black folks in the cast.
He's been in a bunch of things. I think
Kevin or Carrie?
Carrie. Yeah, he's been in multiple Stargate episodes.
Oh, word. I haven't really watched that too much.
And he's, if I'm not mistaken, he's in one or two of the Marvel movies as well.
Oh, here's a good one. American Dad, porno director.
American Dad. Oh my God, really?
It looks like he was in The Walking Dead.
Yes, he was the dude with the dreads.
I don't think I've gotten there yet. Anderson and I started watching that.
Oh, he's dope. He's really dope. I forget what they call him. something cool, something like
walk. Did they call them walking dreads?
Anyway, Phil Lamar is in this. I didn't know that. Phil Lamar used to be one of the comics off of Mad TV.
I see.
So
okay. Well, anyway, we just went down a little rabbit hole.
There you go.
This is highlights. Sorry, I'm looking at my notes now. Where are we? We're at the fight scene you mentioned with Donkey Kong. Mario has to defeat Donkey Kong to win the army of what's the name? Cranky Kong, his father.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was a nice. I especially liked when he turned into the cat.
You know, I had an issue with that. The nerd in me. So, and this is actually mentioned in like some of the trivia, which is like he only really uses the mushroom power up.
Hmm.
But there's other stuff that like shows up in the game way before, like the fire plant, like right. Donkey Kong uses it and Princess Peaches uses it. But like right. The fire plant was like in the first game was like the thing. And even in Mario 3, the leaf, which turns you into a raccoon and you can fly. I'm just right. Like, we going to jump to the cat and the freaking something bear, whatever it is. The other thing he powers up with later on is some kind of bear.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, y'all advancing too quickly, man. You got to leave some stuff for the future movies.
Yeah. Well, I guess you would know better. Like how much? Like, are there any other ones that are in the game that they didn't put in here?
Those are the fire plant and the leaf are the main ones. Like, I think they might be skipping a lot of like Mario 2 because that was just like not a great game and kind of disconnected from the other games.
Mm.
But there are power ups in that as well that I'm sure you could probably go to first.
I wonder, will they? You know, because it seems like a opportunity, like not this movie, but the second movie, or they do a third, feels like there's an opportunity for them to kind of invent new things to add to the game as well.
Well, listen, I'm sure they didn't expend all the stuff. Like, I was reading some of the trivia, and like they were mentioning stuff I've never heard of and games I've never heard of. Like, they play Mario Galaxy. I think that's what it's called. So there's probably stuff from there. They allude to things. Like, I think from Mario... it might be Mario Galaxy. There's a cape power-up. There's cape power-up where it's like, you know, they're like superheroes. So, like, they didn't really do it. They did like a little call out to it in the Mario Brothers at commercial.
Hmm.
So... Yeah, you know, there's still stuff. There's still a ways to go. But,
all right.
Anyway, but yeah, I think eventually you're going to have to create new things, right?
Yeah.
Because especially the rate they're going, they kind of did a lot in this film with those things. So.
Is Pac-Man going to be in the next one?
Pac-Man. Nah, man. Wasn't he Atari?
Yeah, he's Atari, I think.
I can't remember. It's all blended together. But then we have Mario Kart.
Yeah.
In this film, which I literally just played that game with two of my high school friends on Friday.
Really?
We played basketball and we got some food, had some drinks, and we started playing N64 and we played Mario Kart. So
who still has an N64?
My boy Orpheus Richards has an N64.
All right, Orpheus, I see you.
We played GoldenEye. We played Mario.
Oh, my God. Of course, you had to play GoldenEye.
Oh, absolutely. Legendary.
All right.
Shout out to JT Curtis. yeah, it's like it was cool. Like they had like they were like building their own carts, and then like Toad had the biggest monster truck looking.
That was so cool.
And then I mean it's kind of weird because they went to Kong country to like get the army. They build these carts, and then they lose the carts and the army on the way to Bowser.
Yeah.
Almost feel like, felt like a waste of this, the fight scene that we saw earlier.
True. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes shit rolls like that.
Oh, okay. So how do we feel about Seth Rogen's Donkey Kong?
I liked him. I thought he was, I mean, I feel like, I mean, if you, it was Seth Rogen. That's why I felt like. I felt like it was Seth Rogen in this movie, which is okay because he's kind of like Donkey Kong anyway.
I mean, just like Jack Black is another guy I don't need to see on screen. So, like, yeah, a voiceover is better.
Right.
No offense, you guys. But you do get, like, what was, I don't remember what part of the fight scene. Oh, was it Mario eating the mushroom that made him small?
Yeah. That was a good scene.
And then you get Seth Rogen's classic laugh.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell, I can't even do it. But yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was fine. They had their, Mario and Donkey Kong had their rivalry, which is obviously cool, bringing it from the Donkey Kong game. So, yeah, man.
It was a decent fight, you know. Yeah. What I kind of appreciate from this movie, which is kind of like the critic in me, is that, to your point, this movie wasn't too long. You know what I mean? It was just, I feel like this was just a perfectly length movie.
Absolutely. Especially for an animated film, those just tend to be shorter and like, You are just drawing it out if it's any longer than that. I mean, maybe an hour 45, but like that's pushing it.
Yeah.
So great job. Keep it short, sweet. You're going to add more movies to the series. So like, don't blow it all in the first one. And we've kind of skipped over one particular scene that I would like to pay homage to, which is Jack Black as Bowser. Playing a song.
Man.
Called Peaches. Although, I just thought of another question for our later for the end of the show. But yeah, Peaches. Apparently, debuted at 83 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Are you kidding?
I am not.
Okay.
So there's that.
I
mean, dude, actually what I wanted to do before this show was like listen to the song in its entirety, which I haven't, but I will do that later. I mean, listen, after the movie, Annis was just like, Peaches. Walking around the house singing it. So
that was great. That was such, was it Peaches?
So, listen, clearly they created something that's going to stick in your head, which is, I guess, the goal.
Yeah.
And that's part of obviously this love story we're talking about, this infatuation by Bowser and his whole reason for getting the star and wanting to take over, attack Toad. The Toad Palace or whatever. So that was funny. And I knew immediately it was Jack Black wrote it, like no doubt.
Yeah. It felt like suddenly he was back at School of Rock.
Mm-hmm. Or was it the Pick of Destiny?
Yeah, Pick of Destiny.
We also skipped over when Donkey Kong comes out. They're playing what's called Donkey Kong, the DK rap, which is from the game itself. It's the opening screen from the game on N64. And then when they're building the carts, what song's playing then?
I don't know. That I won't remember.
It's very distinct guitar intro, like I think that was actually in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I think that was their clip snippet of the song. It's AC/DC's Thunderstruck. So
I mean, we said who the music person was, but this really feels like Jack Black had his fingerprints on some of this.
Maybe, and all of these songs are pretty much 80s.
Yep.
I think one of them was 1990, but like right there, I mean, right when these games were being created and played. So clearly, I mean, very intentional effort to like have the soundtrack be from that era, those eras, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and again, that's another thing I think they did well with this movie was they didn't, like, there were, what, maybe like 5 or 6 songs that were like what you call radio play songs, but the rest were songs that were from the game and, you know, game themed, and it was just such a good balance, like, because they could have came in and just did all this, you know, let's just throw some money, $200 million at, like, you know, a bunch of, like, you know, songs and just buy, you know. I think they did a great job choosing, like, when and where to use those pieces.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like overkill like some other movies, right? Like, every scene has a song, like, music supervised song put into it, like, transitioning from one scene to the other, like, all the background music, right? Like, and the background music, yeah, like you say, is the video game stuff, but, like, you have to use that. It's, like, as you said, iconic music for a video game, right? So, they did a good job doing it. Like, even that scene where Bowser and his minion are, like, discussing something, and it's like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, they're playing, like, the underground level. So they had creative ways of playing some of the songs as well.
Yeah, yeah. Just a nicely curated list.
Yeah. But aside from, like, what we've talked about already, like, the end of the film is kind of, like, somewhat predictable, right? Like, Bowser makes it to the palace, blackmails Peaches to, like, marry him, and then Mario comes to save the day, and, well, Mario and Peaches, and then there's this whole big fight scene that spills over into Brooklyn. Yeah. One thing I will say is, like, one of the things Bowser does is he's lowering all the prisoners into the lava, which gives me my other what the fuck, and both my what the fucks are characters. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Lumily, the
blue Lumily flower. Is fucking insane.
What in the fuck? Yo, like, the thing, like, this is a kid's movie, right? I know we're doing nostalgia for, like, people like me and us, but, like, my age.
Right.
But damn, like, this is a kid's movie. Like, the only hope is the sweet relief of death.
She was so dark. So dark.
Look, it completely different from the rest of the movie. Like, it just seems so out of place.
Everybody's like, please stop. Just, like, I'm already so depressed.
And he's, this, like, might be a character. this might be a character that I just don't remember from the game. Like, maybe this character was saying this stuff, and, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because I was like, this seems like a real Debbie Downer for a game. Like, what if it was in the game? Okay, it was in the game. But if it wasn't in the game, then I gotta really ask why they did this.
Yeah, I don't even know why I didn't look this up. Why didn't I look this up? It's just so out of place, so random. This is from Mario Galaxy. Yeah, it's from the Mario Galaxy. So those are the later ones that were, like, N64.
Okay. Now that's a happy ending, or is it? Because everything is over now, and all that's left is you and the infinite void.
Yeah. Like, that's how you end in the film, huh?
Oh, boy.
Lumily serves as a shop, quote unquote, where Mario and Luigi can purchase either a life mushroom or a one-up mushroom for 30 star bits. Great. Doesn't talk, say anything about her being depressed.
Yeah, that... whatever was the problem, I mean... It was fun. I mean, it was funny. It was, I ain't gonna lie. I'm simply kind of laughing. But,
yes. Yeah. I mean, pretty deep too. Like, I don't know if you have any like favorite quotes, but like, Lumily says at one point, I think someone called her crazy.
Yeah.
Something crazy. She's like, in an insane world, it is the sane who are called crazy.
That was actually my favorite quote. I was like, that's kind of deep.
My bad, bro.
Yeah, I didn't mean to take that from you.
Anyway, so, you know, end of the movie. Like I said, they take it into Brooklyn. That was another thing. They transport it to Brooklyn and, like, they save Brooklyn. I don't know how I feel about crossing the worlds so early. Again, you have
set this up
for multiple movies, like, that could be down the line, but like, I don't know, maybe they have other places they're going to take it. So,
well, I mean, I understand why they did it, because at the end, I mean, they kind of wanted to present them as heroes to their family. But yeah, to your point, if they hadn't have done it, I'd have been okay with it. I would have been okay with that.
Yeah. I'm like back and forth. I'm like, okay, well, we've seen other movies where other series where they wait to do that. So maybe they're just, all right, let's just do it off the bat. Yeah. Like, they're heroes to their family. Like, there's other series where like these guys are kind of like losers for multiple films before it's finally, you know, seen, right. So maybe they were just trying to like come from a different angle. It's cool. It didn't ruin the movie. It's fine. Well, now that I stole your quote, do you have any other quotes that you enjoy?
Actually, my other quote is also from that crazy blue star thing, which is, life is sad, prison is sad. Life in prison is very, very sad. Yo. As Donald Trump will find out real soon.
Anyway. Woohoo! Sorry. We hope so. I liked one from early in the movie during their commercial where they had the woman acting in their ad.
Oh.
And she's like, it looks like the only thing you haven't drained is my bank account. And she makes a face.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, my God. And I did like the interaction between Bowser and Luigi. Mm. He's trying to find out who this other human is. And Bowser is like, do princesses find him attractive? They do if they have good taste.
Yeah, that was a good moment. There were like a lot of little small moments like that throughout the movie that were just really good.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, there's a ton of like small good moments. I mean, I've kind of mentioned my two WTF moments. Do you have any?
Well, my biggest what the fuck moment to me was Lumily. I think that unto itself was the whole movie what the fuck moment.
So to you, Lumily versus Francis the dog. Lumily.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Francis. Yeah. Wow, that's hard. Francis was really good.
But he's only in the one scene, and Lumily is recurring. Oh, wait. No, he comes back at the
end. He comes back at the end, right?
He gives like a head nod to Luigi at the end.
Yeah. Like, all right, man.
I feel you.
I gotta go with Lumily in the lead, but Francis, man, he set the tone for the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. So, in addition to our usual questions, I have some other ones. So, should we dive in?
Sure, go for it.
Do you have anything to add to our usual ones?
No. Mm-mm.
All right, I'm gonna start off with some trivia I found for people, other actors that were in the running for Peaches.
Oh,
and would they be better?
Okay,
we have Amanda Seyfried, Emma Stone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who Jodie Comer is.
I don't know who she is.
Or Chloe Grace Moretz.
Oh, I know her. That's the what's the superhero movie?
The movie?
No, it's a movie. It's a
Kick-Ass.
Kick-Ass, yeah.
Right. So her, Jennifer Lawrence, and Mandy Moore, and Kirsten Bell.
Oh, I would put Kirsten and Emma up front as the finalists because they both do a lot of voiceover for cartoons.
Mm.
But I think I don't think either one of them would have done a better job.
Yeah.
Maybe equal, but not better.
Yeah, honestly, it's hard for me to like because I don't know how many. If I've seen many of the movies that these other actresses have done voiceovers for, and I thought it was done. I think Anya Taylor-Joy did a good job.
She was good, yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard with voiceovers, right? Like you're not seeing them actually act, so it's kind of hard to be like to make a judgment unless it's really bad.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so. We're both going to say, we'll stick with the actress that was in there, the actor that.
Yeah.
All right. This popped in my head because I actually really liked Sonic the Hedgehog. I actually kind of like both movies. I'm a big Jim Carrey fan, so that's probably going to be default. But can they or should they do a Sonic and Super Mario Brothers crossover? Now, Sonic is Sega, Mario Brothers is Nintendo.
So I guess my question then becomes, say Mario's more of an animated versus Sonic, which is more like live action.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be, would Mario come live action? Or would
I think I imagine they would all cross over into their different worlds. It's different animation too, so that's hard to say, but.
Well, I mean, we've seen animated movies where they've crossed back and forth.
Yeah, so, into the Spider-Verse. So.
That's a hard question. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say no. And the only reason why I say it is because I really like what they did with Mario, and I don't want them fiddling with it and messing it up.
I'm not saying right away. I'm saying like down the line, like establish the two franchises and then. Well, okay. Listen, Darren, we're back to the status quo because I disagree. like I said, I like both franchises, and I think it could be interesting. So,
all right. Well, if that's the case, pull Pac-Man out of mothballs and throw him in there too.
Nah, we don't need Pac-Man. Here's a really hard hitting question.
Oh,
is this better than the 1985 movie? Well, you haven't seen it, but yeah.
I don't think I've seen the original, and just based on the reviews, I gotta say probably not.
We should do another podcast on that one.
Yeah, I mean if we can get past the fact that John Leguizamo's wearing overalls.
All right, so here's one. We're going back to one of our originals.
Okay.
Could Tears in Heaven be in this soundtrack, in what scene, and would it make it better?
It could be in this movie, yes. It could be in this movie when Donkey Kong and Mario go over the bridge. They fall off the Rainbow Bridge, and everyone thinks they're dead.
So I was thinking, when all the prisoners are being lowered into the lava, and Luma Lee is like, ah, like she's like welcoming death. And yeah, then like and you have like Tears in Heaven playing, but then as it gets pulled up, gets stopped and pulled back up, you just get the scratch like and they get pulled back up. I thought that would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be funny, actually.
And I think this is one of the few movies where we ask this question and it might actually fucking work.
Yeah, it might actually work.
And then I had a follow-up question. Peaches and Cream. 311.
Say what?
Peaches and Cream. Is that what you're putting in the bikini? No, you know that 311 song from the 90s? Still 90s, yeah. Peaches and Cream?
Oh, yeah, I know the song. What about, should this be in the movie?
Well, the main female lead is named Peaches. I'm sure we could squeeze it in there.
Sure. What they should do is at the end, you know how like in certain movies they do like...
the post-credits?
The post-credits where they're like dancing and doing things behind the camera.
Yeah.
They could do that with all the characters.
They should have. Absolutely. Answer's yes. Answer's yes, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
By the way...
Questions.
So my nephew was over earlier today and he was asking me about the podcast, and I told him that one of our questions that we normally ask is if Tom Hanks, Michelle Yeoh, or Will Smith could be in this film. And his opinion was that Tom Hanks could be in this film from like the late 90s. Tom Hanks could be in this film. And he believes that it would make it a better film.
Did he say what role?
I think he said Mario.
Tom Hanks is Mario?
Yeah.
And then Will Smith is what?
No,
okay.
Just saying that.
I mean, probably. I don't know if he'd be good at the New York, because Chris Pratt kind of puts this like New York, slight New York Italian accent in there.
Yeah. I don't know either. I mean, that's why I kind of was like, I don't know.
Tell him he's uninvited to the show. Because
that was your audition. You failed.
Horrible. Terrible. Oh, my gosh. All right. So do you have a favorite song or... and or a song that encompasses the film story?
I have a favorite moment with a favorite song, because I really enjoyed the drive to the castle, Monkey Castle. So the Take on Me was really cool. I really enjoyed that moment. But the song to me that fits the movie or is the Peaches song. I mean, that just made like everything stopped when he did that. It was just like, all right, this is happening.
Okay. I'm trying to like thinking about it. I mean, none of these songs particularly are 100% fit.
Right.
I mean, you could argue Holding Out for a Hero.
That could
be obvious. I like Take on Me, and I'm just like, for me, just the title was just like, you know, when you're playing video games, like you're taking someone on, like take me on, like, right? So I was like, man, maybe just because of the title, like in the video gaming culture, I would use that for the one that encompasses the story. My favorite's clearly Peaches.
Yeah,
obviously. So we kind of flipped our answers, but we had the same ones.
Same ones, but different reasons.
All right. So with all that said, what do we rate this out of 10?
So, you know, 2023, I mean, I would not want to be an Oscar judge, because some of the best films that came out this year are not what you'd call traditional films. Spider-Verse, Barbie, this movie. I mean, it's a game. And I mean, if you love the 80s, this was a great year for you to be in the movie theater. So I will say this, I give it an eight. This is a movie I would rewatch. So
I guess that this podcast is officially over.
All right. Well, we've completed.
I also gave it an 8.
You gave, oh my God.
And I also wrote down the word rewatchable.
Holy smokes.
I mean, but like, look, seriously, it's just a super fun, technically well-executed film. Right. And the nostalgia clearly hits. And I think, you know, even with kids today that don't have a reference for a lot of this, hopefully their parents did a good job and made them play Nintendo before they got into all these fancy games. But I still think they can relate to it and, like, enjoy the film. So,
yeah, I mean, it's just a good film to kind of, like, it fills two different needs for me. It's the movie that I can watch and not have to think too hard about. And it's the movie that I can kind of look, really just enjoy the story at the same time. So that to me is a very rewatchable film.
Yeah. I just watched it twice in a week, and I might just watch it again.
I would watch it just so y'all could see Luma Lee again, because it was really, I mean, she's depressing as fuck, but it was hilarious. And Francis, that first few, like, first 5 minutes of the movie is really good.
Well, you mentioned a good year for 1980s people. They also remade White Men Can't Jump.
Oh, have you seen that yet?
No, I don't want to see it. But I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for 80s people.
That's a bad thing. That movie didn't need to be remade. That's a classic, man. You don't touch that.
Yeah, that's why. And then the people they cast in it, too. Come on, man.
Yeah, there's that. Oh. Surprised it wasn't John Leguizamo in some shorts or something. No offense to John, because he's a great actor.
Oh man, what an amazing actor!
Yeah.
All right, man. So you have some film thing coming up, a virtual film like screening.
Yeah. Tomorrow, I return to COVID protocols, and we're doing an event which is kind of a unique event. It's part networking event, part screening event, and part podcast / talk, where we're inviting one of the heads of one of the top VFX studios, who does most of the Marvel and Netflix shows, like Wednesday, and so they're coming to talk about what they're doing in VFX and some of the stuff, show some of the stuff they've done. So, and then somebody from Warner Brothers is going to be, we're screening one of their shorts.
I saw on the list, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, it should be fun. I mean, it's not, you know, so I would recommend people, if you want to go to my Instagram and, it's the Darren Jenkins, the Darren Jenkins. If you go there, you can sign up. Still tickets available. It's limited space. Just because it's online, it's going to be online, doesn't mean it's going to be unlimited space. So.
And when is that?
That is that's Thursday. Thursday, 8:24, 6:30 p.m. EST. You got stuff coming up too, dude. I mean, you got a bunch of shows coming up, right?
Well, still trying to book out the rest of the year. which has become a little more difficult because I'm in this Odyssey opening act competition.
Right.
Which I will be calling on everyone very soon for support. But I'm looking to be an opening act at the opening act Odyssey's benefit concert for suicide prevention.
Mm-hmm.
The date has been set. I think it's October 14th or 19th, if I'm not mistaken. Somewhere around there. The venue is set Prudential Center in New Jersey. Huge venue. And they have three of the main acts, Maroon 5, Kelly Clarkson, and One Republic. And I would love to open for them. So
that would be amazing.
I am in the first round, the fifth round of the first round, where I'm in first place. If I end up in first place by Thursday this week, I'll be in the quarterfinals. And a couple weeks from then, I'll be seeing where I stand again and asking for people to vote for me. So this is like a big opportunity. But aside from that, yeah, September 12th, I'll be performing at Pete's Candy Store in Brooklyn, where I've played before, where they shot the music video for Dua Lipa's Don't Start Now. So it's a really cool little venue.
Wow. And people can learn more about his shows coming up and support him on his way to being the opening act at Chris_Saunders_music on Instagram. And that's cool. That's good to see that you're going to be, you're back doing some live stuff. And
yeah, I mean, I was looking at something for October and I was like, oh, well, they set the date for October. So I'm looking to book something now for November. It might be like the Delancey for November.
Okay.
And then December is always tough with the holidays and everything. So we'll see if I can do something early.
December. Maybe like first week or second week in December.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah. And of course, we'll be continue putting out more podcasts. I know we've got some stuff that we're lining up to kind of do soon. So
we mentioned Barbie. We're hoping to do that one soon as well for you Barbie fans out there, you Barbenheimer fans.
Yeah, Barbenheimer. Did you see Oppenheimer?
No, not yet. Not yet. I was going to actually see it on Thursday, but the theater we want to go to was booked out for like a month.
Wow.
Yeah, still.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's it.
Well, everyone should follow us, the Tracklist Podcast, because we have some good stuff coming up. Sure. And if you are thirsting for some good podcasts, why not revisit some of our older podcasts? We have some great episodes, like our Yellow Submarine one, mm-hmm. and that was a good one.
Speaking of Devin Lever. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
Speaking of 80s, we have one of our more popular ones, House Party, the original House Party with Mike Ross.
Yep.
So there's a lot of fun conversations in our backlog. So go check them out.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I guess that's it. This was a good one. It's of course unprecedented level of cooperation and peace amongst nations on this podcast today.
To never be seen again.
We hope to get back to disagreeing once again real soon. But I guess until then, that's it, I guess, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, everyone, thanks for joining us on the show. Be sure to follow us again, Tracklist Podcast Show. Until then, I am Darren Jenkins.
I am Chris Saunders.
Oh, boy. And this was the track list. Wow, that was pretty good. All right. See you guys.